Anyway, so that's where I find myself. My daughter jumped on the trampoline, banged her head, big egg on the back of the head. So she's at home. And Phil was actually going to help me. She was going to give her testimony today. We're going to bounce off each other. And so guess what? Things change. You got to adapt. But also, in the craziness of the week, I actually just felt like my default is I love learning, and I love digging into the Word, and I love expounding and teaching. I actually found myself not able to do all that because there wasn't enough time or space in my little house to do that. But my heart for this morning is I want to remember the joy of our salvation. We came here on Wednesday, and Luke was sharing on sexuality, and just in our culture these days, sexuality is a minefield. If you I'm just sitting there looking at Luke, I'm thank the Lord for Luke. I'm so grateful we're on the same team and that he's in this congregation, because we really covered some broad ground and some deep topics. It was amazing. But I felt like after coming out of that night, whether you're a young Christian or whether you've been saved for decades, the same thing applies, that we do what we do because of the joy of our salvation, the joy of what God's called us to, the joy of what we have now, and also the joy of where we're going. So that's my heart for this morning. But before I start, I just wanted to say, when we have baptisms, and we've had some incredible baptisms, honestly, the last baptism we had, it was the testimonies blew me out the water. People declaring us, okay. I didn't see that. I see it now. Thank you. Sure. Yeah, and it was just so incredible to hear why people are being obedient to God and what God's done in their hearts. So, and I felt sad because a lot of us missed that. A lot of us were there, but not everyone. So Peter's going to get baptized this morning, and he's brave enough to... He came up to me and was like, listen, George, I actually just want to stand up in front. No, I'm joking. I went up to him very last minute, so let's have lots of grace for him. But I thought it'd be an amazing opportunity for him just to share as a brand new believer why he wants to get baptized. Is that okay, Peter? Viva! Can't go wrong, bro. Everyone loves you already.
good morning, everyone. It's been quite a journey. Wouldn't lie. to stand up here is such a privilege. It's been the most amazing 3 months of just being at this moment. So while we were worshiping, as a kid, I had, there's this old painting of the broad and the narrow road, and it's always hung in my room, and it's always fascinated me as a kid, because I always made up stories when I looked at the painting, and I always made up stories for each person that's walking on that road, on both roads. And there was a point in time where I then started walking on the broad road, and it's been quite a journey. But the whole time on that road, there was moments where I was given choices, and each time I always thought that it was just good intuition. But I know now that God has forever spoken to me throughout my life, and there was always moments where he knew that I shouldn't go down a certain path because it would have been extremely destructive for me as a person. And he used a lot of my friends and a lot of people on my path as examples, and then gave me a choice, a split in the road. And it always went into God's path. There was always, I can literally remember the first clear moment of God talking to me and giving me a choice was after a night, a weekend of partying and in my bathroom, cleaning myself and then just looking in the mirror and, what are you doing? And then stopping that path and then going on another path. And so it was this whole branch that started developing. And two other religions later as well. And showing me quite a lot of things. And showing me the ways how to walk. And just choosing the right times to move. God always speaks to you, and there's always a split in the road, and there's always a choice to be made. It's in your power to choose. He will never choose for you. And I'm just glad that I had the wisdom to choose the path that led to this. So I sort of counted it. It's from where it started, it's about 26 years that I've been out of Christianity. And it's brought me back onto this path, the narrow road, the road that I really want to be on. And now I'm part of that painting story. So, and it's been, I'm so grateful for the colleague that I have. So I'm an art teacher, and my colleague, I initiated conversations on philosophy and religion with him, and he's an elder in the Durbanville congregation. And so a year ago, we started having discussions, and then eventually I started asking him about where he is, and then so he just told me about Josh Chen, and then I just started doing research, and so this led me to be here, and I'm very glad to be part of this family and this community, because it's where it should be. So always listen to God. Don't think it's your intuition, because it's actually God speaking. Yeah. It's not you. So always choose that path that he gives you clearly. He clearly gives you a path. And you just have to make the right choice. That's all. And he will lead you to this. Yeah. That's it.
Thank you, man. Well done.
So I think we can go home now. I think that's thank you for sharing. We're going to pray for him after baptisms as well, so there's more to come. But I can't imagine how stoked your family must be to see this fruit on the branch of your tree now. It's so pumped. I got little kids. I'm hoping that one day I'll get to experience the same thing as Peter's folks and see my kids baptized. And I'll share a little bit from my life. I'm a little bit old. I'm also old. And the reason why I'm going to share a little bit from my side too is that every salvation is different. Sometimes you have it's like it just happens immediately. This is like this moment of like on the road to Damascus where you have this epiphany and it's instant. There are some of us where it's more like a very slow opening. It's like a slow bloom. And I find myself that was my story. I wasn't saved out of anything hectic. My parents got divorced, and I just realized there must be more to life than this. If the bottom of my foundation fell out, there must be something else. And I remember just going through, looking at those other religions, and I just looked at every religion, and I thought, what if I'm wrong? What if I've been brought up Christian? What if, the Moonies are right, or the path of Islam, or, the Hindus? And I looked at every possible path, and I just found that each path was just a series of ladders, a series of hoops, things you had to do to try and get to God. And actually, Jesus was the only story actually where the central figure of that religion actually said, I am God, I am the way, and I am the truth and the life. Buddha said, follow me as I seek truth. And Muhammad said, I'm a prophet. And then a few of the other cults, they were confused. But the point is, Jesus very clearly told us who he was. And that for me was the deciding factor in pursuing that more and finding actually, wow, there is a firm foundation in that. And what Peter was also saying is, I have been thinking about this analogy all week, actually, was this thing of, we just mustn't resist God. There's power in choosing to be obedient when he calls. And I remember just thinking about the power of birth and the role that we play in that. You know, it's I have two children, and I had a role to play in that. But actually, it's the Lord. It's the Lord who knits them together in their mom's tummy. And it's incredible, the miracle, the complexity of the people that came out there. And the picture I had was, there's a story about salvation where there's two twins in a mom's womb. And there's a girl and a boy, and the girl says to her brother, you won't believe about the incredible, incredible world that's out there. And the little boy in the womb said, no, this is all I can see. I can just see this, the darkness, there's no gravity. And she said, no, but I've heard mom's whispers. I've heard the voice of our mother. And the little boy was like, what mother? I don't know what you're talking about. I've never met her. And that's a beautiful story of what it's like for us. It's God who busy forms us spiritually. It's God who develops us, God who grows us. And he knocks on our door of our lives. He knocks and he calls and he calls and he whispers. And you know, when the birthing process, there's only one thing that the baby has to do, and that is to turn upside down into a lion. That's all it does. The actual birthing happens through the mother, the doctors, even the contractions. It's all incredible. It's hormones and all of those things. But I just wanted to encourage us, when it comes to our salvation, even those of us who aren't yet saved, all you have to do is position yourself. So when you hear the call of God, when you feel the pull of the Spirit, even for us who are saved, you know, sometimes it happens on a Sunday where you're like, you just don't want to get up out of bed. You just don't want to ... But in faith, you do get up, and in faith, you do go out to do what you need to do. And actually, God often does the rest. Okay, can you put up that scripture, please, Clara? So I just wanted to unpack, just read and unpack this psalm. This is David now, and he's busy writing Psalm 51. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to unpack it a little bit. It says, yeah, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I'll teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves, and I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. So verse 12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. You know that David wrote the psalm right after he had killed, the prophet Nathan actually came to convict him of his sin. He had had someone killed and then stole his wife, old Bathsheba. And it was, if you think about worst case scenario, this is as bad as it gets. Not many of us will get someone assassinated and then steal the entire family. And yeah, but sorry guys. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. For me, it's God who restores our salvation. It's sometimes we, I don't know if you guys ever had it, where you feel so down and so bogged down by sin and what you've done, that you start to heap more responsibility on your own self. And you feel like you can't get out of the rut that you're in. David shows us to actually reach out and ask God. You know Peter, when he denied Jesus three times, Jesus took him aside on the beach, and three times he told Peter, look after my sheep. I think Peter was a fisherman as well, so the concept of now shepherding is a completely different area of life. But Jesus took him aside, and he lovingly restored him. In verse 13, it says, I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. You know, when our joy of our salvation is renewed deep in our heart, we don't have to tell people about Jesus. We want to. It doesn't feel like a duty to our friends and our family and strangers. And the beauty about sharing also, any of God's word is that it always comes back fruitful, never comes back void. In verse 14, it says, forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing your praises. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. It's a picture of what we bring and what God brings. The only thing we actually bring to the Lord is our sin. It's our brokenness, our suffering, and the things that we don't get right. God is the one who saves. He's the one who is the author of our salvation. He's the perfecter of our salvation. And guess what? He's also the completer of our salvation. It's only him who we can trust to finish the good thing that he started in our hearts. You know, when you've been a Christian also for a few decades, I was telling the guys last year, I hit 40, and I did this stock take in my heart, and I realized, like, shucks, all the things I've ever wanted in my life, a wife, children, a little home, a decent career, I took stock as I turned 40, and I realized, but the Lord has given me all those things. He's fulfilled the deep desires in my heart, and I found myself in the middle of my life, hopefully. God gives me a bit more, but I just realized there's nothing more for me to do in my own wisdom and my own strength. And actually, there's a God in the universe who's created me, who's put things for me to do that I can actually call upon and ask. And that for me was a beautiful revelation at the age of 40, that it's only just begun. I don't actually have it all fixed and together. And he can still and will still use me. In verse 15, unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. Again, feeling stuck in the Lord, asking him to unseal our lips that our hearts might praise the Lord. Verse 16 says, I do not desire a sacrifice or would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. You know, that's a profound statement there. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. If you read the Old Testament, every chapter and book of the Old Testament is significant references to the Old Testament sacrifices and the blood sacrifices and all the things that the high priests used to do. And God's saying he actually doesn't want that. He actually doesn't want sacrifice and all the hard work. You know, I got some Jewish friends, and they got 613 laws, and it's nearly impossible for them to fully always keep every single law. And when I have coffee often with one of my Jewish friends who's starting to become a rabbi, we often have these deep debates about the Old Testament, because he's an expert. But he hasn't got the expansion pack, so I often teach him about the New Testament, or at least try. But you know that they don't even know, they've forgotten what God's name is. They for so many centuries, they're not allowed to say the full name, so they've blotted it out. And he was saying, because they don't have a temple and a high priest, there is no access to God. And I was asking him the other day about the Messiah. You know, we believe Jesus will come back a second time, and he says, no, they're still waiting for the first one. And when I asked him about the Messiah, I said, you know, is the Messiah going to be someone deeply spiritual or godlike? And he said, no, the Messiah, as far as he's concerned, is just a man. And someone who will just build the temple. That's all they're worried about. As long as there's a temple in Israel, then everything's fine. And my heart was so grieved. I just realized that they've set the bar so low. They're just wanting someone just to build a physical temple and so that God can dwell in one place again for one group of people. And and just the excitement, guys, sorry, we have a joy in a living God. We have Jesus who's come and brought salvation for all of us, for those of us who are young, those of us who are old, those of us who've been saved for a little bit, and those of us who've been saved for decades. The joy remains the same. And I just want to encourage us also with verse 17. It says, a sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. I don't know if you guys, it reminded me of Matthew 12, where it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. I don't know if you guys have seen a reed. It's the most ridiculous plant. It's like this hollow tube with this massive thing on top, and it's a disaster waiting to happen. And a smoldering wick you will not quench. You know, people always imagine like a big pillar candle, but in my mind, it's more like those little tea light candles with a very very minimal wick. You know, it just always goes out, and as soon as you light it, it gets flooded. And you know, these are fragile things that are easily harmed and on the brink of disappearing. And Jesus shows his compassionate nature. He's gentle, caring, and understanding. We don't ever need to fear his touch or a harsh word. You know, he often used to call his disciples little faithlings. He would often, there's many a time in Scripture that he would say, why do you have, O ye of little faith? He's like saying, why don't you just believe that I am good? And, I'm trying. it's been a tough one, guys. But I just want to land with one thing, and that is, I often think about how God is so gracious with the picture that he gives us in marriage and with children. And if you don't have a marriage or children, don't worry. The beautiful thing is you're part of a family and you have spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, and there are spiritual children. So the analogy does stretch in both directions. But I just want to say, when it comes to our salvation, it's a bit like my marriage to Phil. We can get married, and then what happens sometimes is we have our marriage certificate, and we say, guys, I've been married, check. 21st of November 2010, I've got it. Here's a little piece of paper, and it's been done. And you could be true. You could get married once and then never see your wife again and still legally be married. But I just want to encourage us. What I've discovered is in my marriage, I've got it every Monday. We have to sit and talk about finances. Because I don't know why, but finances keep leaking. We have one bank account that we share, but it's incredible. Money keeps disappearing somehow. So we need to be able to account for where the money is going. We do that together as a team. But imagine if my marriage was just that. It was just keeping accounts of budgets and finances. My marriage wouldn't thrive. And there is a joy to our salvation that God calls us to, and that's like going on a date with your wife. That's going just to have coffee. There's no agenda. There's no feedback needed. It's just you get to be able to enjoy each other. And whether you're a brand new Christian, whether you've been a Christian for 10, 20 years, the invitation from Jesus is the same. Come to me. You are weary, you are burdened, and I will give you rest. Okay. So that's my encouragement. I'm just gonna pray for us now. But that's my encouragement: is that if no matter where you are on the journey, Jesus doesn't want you just to be a human doing. He doesn't want you just to keep doing stuff. He wants you to enjoy salvation. Our salvation is not just a once-off event. It's not something that has happened. You know, if Peter gets baptized today and he never comes back to church, that's not salvation. And it's a thing we get to enjoy every single day. And there's also a day coming where we will see Jesus face to face. We will get to see the new heaven and the new earth, and all the things will pass away. All the crying, all the crime, all the economics, all the problems. Okay. You bow your heads with me.